back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. I am I'm feeling like, you know, beautiful skies over Camden Yards. I got my State Fair shirt on. You know, Don and I put this thing together about 2.5 years ago. Our original sponsors, State Fair, our original sponsors, Fadley's down at Lexington Market. They're going to be in the same parking lot very soon over in the 21228. Don has the chairs at. Don, if I weren't wearing my pajamas right now, I'd stand up, but I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to show the back of this so everybody can see here on the back of the State Fair. This is a very seasonal outfit. You would agree with that, correct?
It is a seasonal outfit. The chairs are up along Frederick Road, a whole bunch of them in front of the Moeller and Gary offices on Frederick Road. Jeff Moeller getting ready to sell that beautiful condo with that view behind you. I mean, like you said, it's a million-dollar view, half price, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. Ed is here. We're talking some golf in this segment. And Don, this is where usually you lead the conversation because I hate sports and you love sports, according to the last thing. I did not watch any golf. By the way, my wife watched golf last week. She got engaged in the women's final that was sudden death. She put it on. She couldn't stop watching it about a week ago Sunday. And we spent 3 hours watching women that I had never heard of battle each other in sudden death. So, Don, you know, you give me a hard time about the sports around here. I watch Mickelson come off the course with half the universe behind him. And yes. I said, well, what's with all the same guys dressed in the same blue and white tops? And she's like, oh, dude, they're the security. I'm like, they look like frat boys from Auburn.
Do we have the guy on to talk about all that? Ed Henry, director of golf at Forest Park Golf Course, has joined us before to talk about the majors. And my gosh, time flies, Ed. I think we were talking Masters, and here we are talking U.S. Open, which boys, in a different way than the Masters, one of my favorite events of the year, because we all know pretty much, right, Ed, when we get to Sunday, the leader's going to be around par. There isn't going to be any 15 or 20 unders. Is that right?
Yeah, that is correct. I believe maybe once or twice in the history of the U.S. Open has it ever even gotten to double digits, but par will be a great score this week, absolutely.
What do you know about Torrey Pines, Ed, where this is being held? I mean, we all know it's in beautiful San Diego.
That's a hell of a place, I know that.
Absolutely.
You've probably driven by Torrey Pines, Nestor. Tell us a little bit about the golf course, Ed.
Well, my understanding, the neatest part about Torrey Pines to me is that, believe it or not, it is a municipal golf course in San Diego run by the county. Obviously, it's a beautiful golf course. It's actually got two golf courses on there. Ocean views, and just hard to believe that it's a municipal golf course. I know the residents of San Diego love it. They get to play pretty cheap.
Well, you know, it's funny story. Yeah.
It's not really San Diego. It's La Jolla.
Well, funny story, Ed, about it being a municipal golf course. So my son was played lacrosse at St. Mary's College in Southern Maryland, and one of their spring breaks, they took a trip out to California to play some teams out in California, and a bunch of them were golfers, and they said, hey, we'll throw our clubs in, and when we get out there, man, Torrey Pines, we'll play Torrey Pines. They walked up and asked for it, and of course, they laughed at them. You know, it may be municipal, but you ain't walking on, guys.
No.
If you're planning a trip, you may want to get a tee time a couple of months in advance.
Not a bad idea, though. You know, like it's a nice place. I want to talk about Mickelson a little bit with you because we sort of skipped that, right? I mean, that was all last month, right? Like golf gets back on the map. We're talking about it all week. I didn't have a guest where we didn't talk about it. The golf side of it for you and for him and for legacy. And I think for any of us that are old enough to remember Nicklaus in 86 or, you know, any of those sort of, look, man, I'm 53. I hope I have a September in me, right? We're all hoping for that one great October, you know, for Mickelson, I guess for Woods last year, it's just good for your game, right? I mean, I know we talk about this, like taking the masks off and all that. Mm-hmm. You're in the business of golf. You feed your family selling golf. You need golf to be something that more people are doing than less people are doing, right?
Correct.
Some thoughts about the Mickelson thing, because I thought that was a hell of a moment Not for America or sports or, you know, I just thought it was a hell of a moment for the pandemic. You know, it was a sort of coming out of the pandemic moment that many of us will remember.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you obviously you factor in Phil Mickelson being one of the all-time greats, but has not been very well for the last 2 years. And you throw in the age of 50 and yeah, it was
sounds young
awesome.
To me. 50 doesn't sound as old as it used to.
Well, Ed, talk about that a little bit, Ed, because Nestor, I love that point. And then I'm going to bring it back actually to Lexi Thompson that you talked about in the Women's Open momentarily, because I think there is a connection between what we saw Phil do and what happened to poor Lexi the other weekend. But Ed is, I mean, you watch a lot of golf. You've played of golf. When I look at Phil winning at 50, I immediately thought of Tom Brady, Nestor. And, you know, the fact that he may actually be playing competitive football at 50. Back when we were growing up, you were driving a beer truck by your mid-30s. You know, now you're out there competitive. What do you attribute that to, Ed? Nestor, I'm going to turn to you. Is it just better conditioning, better diet, year-round act? What do you think it is?
It's everything. It's science.
It's everything. You're absolutely right. And honestly, you know, a couple of the interviews, Phil's actually given some credit to Brady. You know, they played that match a couple of years back, and he said he has adopted some of the things, and it's purely diet, a little bit more exercise. Yeah, it's pretty awesome, honestly.
I mean, Phil was hitting the ball. Phil, I kept turning. Mm-hmm. You know, I was texting my son. I was actually with my son-in-law, and I'm going. And my grandson loves golf, and I'm going, guys. He's driving the ball 340 yards. He's 50 years old. Tell us about the equipment part, Ed, because you sell equipment. And again, we're with Ed Henry, director of
Ed
golf.
Miller.
Ed Miller.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, Ed Miller.
Hey, no
Ed
problem.
Henry. Ed
no
Henry's problem. Another. Ed yeah, Miller. Yeah. Ed Miller, director of Golf Forest Park. You
John's got
equipment.
Senior moments. It's all part of the program.
I know an Ed Henry.
It's all good.
For those of you wanting to play some golf, it's classic5golf.com. Get on there. Get a tee time. We'll talk about the courses. Just great courses here in Baltimore. Great public golf courses. Mm-hmm. But Ed, talk about the improvement in the clubs and the technology since you were a young kid learning to play the game.
Oh, it has absolutely gotten scary. The fact that I actually read a great stat last night. I know it's been 12 years, but the last time that Phil played Torrey Pines in 2008, compared to what he just did at the PGA Championship, Phil's club head speed has actually gone up 1 mile per hour in those 12 years. But the carry distance has increased by 24 yards. So there's obviously some improvements in the club head, the ball, but the fact that he hasn't lost any clubhead speed in 12 years is pretty impressive as well.
Insane. So do guys come in? I'm always curious. I know how. I mean, I used to kid my brother. I think my brother had enough sets in his garage that he could have opened his own second swing. You know, he had set after set after set at one point in his life. When Phil drives the ball 340 yards in the PGA, does everybody run into Forest Park on Monday morning and want that driver?
We definitely had a few calls about it. What kind of driver was it and all the other fascinating. They want to know all the specs that he had.
Well, they always think it's the club, not the person, right?
Absolutely.
What is the hot driver out there right now, Ed?
Well, he was hitting that Callaway Epic Speed, the new Epic Speed driver. Pretty nice. But if you read up on the fine print, what was neat about it, Don, is the fact that Phil was hitting an almost 48-inch driver at the PGA Championship. That is the legal maximum limit in length. Most of the guys on tour hit about 44, 44 and a half.
What would mine be, out of curiosity, typically? Let's say I'm an average 12 or 13 handicap. What would my driver be?
Most of the drivers, 44 and a half to 45 is what you normally buy.
He's hitting a driver 4 inches longer.
Yeah, almost. They have about three or something like
that. Well, maybe that's part of the torque, the science of that. Yeah.
Well, should I come over today and have you put a 48-inch shaft in my driver then?
We can definitely experiment. I believe for every inch longer, it was about 5 or 6 miles per hour more. I think that was the science they had behind it.
and this is where, you know, Don, you asked the exact question I was going to ask, which is you've been at this a long time. And I went out and hit golf balls 25 years ago and with clubs that were 15 years old then. Right. Uh-huh. So clubs I have were probably made in the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. They're still sitting out at Hart Road. I haven't touched them. I mean, I haven't gotten rid of them. I don't know what the hell I'd do with them. It'd probably be like giving away a VCR at this point, right? Like, we want it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you know,
if you have an eight track. You have an eight track. You have an eight track. Your clubs are like the old eight track tape players, man.
Well, I want to ask this because this is this speaks to the audience that we have here, that there are golfers and not golfers, and maybe if you're not a golfer, you're not even paying attention. I'm not a golfer. Watch a little. My wife was watching a little. If you want to get involved in the game right now, and you want to go buy clubs cheap on the internet with a sale, whatever, come out, see you, whatever we do. What's it cost to like become a golfer? If you, I mean, I'm talking about a bag, the whole, because you can't golf without clubs, right? I mean, I went bowling with Danny Wiseman. This is when I defeated him, and I'm still bragging about it 20 years later. I beat him. I went out, you know, and he had balls and bags and all that. And I bowl with house balls, right? And I'm missing a finger, and he was trying to figure out all. But you don't have house clubs, right? I mean, like, you're going to golf, you're going to give me a starter kit on that, because if you do get all wound up by Mickelson, if you did hit the ball when you were 30 and now you're 50 and you say, all right, tennis isn't my thing anymore, but I'm going to go golf again. Yeah, I want to make better friends with Mueller and his kid, and they big golfer, and I'll go golf five times a year with him. So what does it cost me to get in?
Well, I would definitely, you know, the full gamut, you can go anywhere from a few hundred bucks up to a couple thousand. But obviously, if you're just getting back into it, Nestor, I would recommend the $200 to $300 route. You can buy a nice set of golf clubs from a a reputable manufacturer.
It shocks me. I thought it'd be more than that.
Yeah. Hey. Well, again, this is for you to start. You want to learn for a year or two, and then you want to start going into the other stuff. That Epic Speed that I mentioned does retail for $529.
That's remarkable.
One club. So
I was going to ask you what that club cost. And I thought it was probably a $500 club. Yeah. And I thought for people paying a couple hundred dollars for rounds of golf and going to Torrey Pines, everybody I know that golfs doesn't care about $14 Malbecs, and like, they just don't care. And so like, they love golf so much that like I love Springsteen. It just didn't matter.
Yeah. Right.
I'm going.
We're always looking. So we're always looking, Nestor, as Ed will tell you.
Yeah,
those
absolutely.
Of us that chase the little white ball, we're always looking.
Mm-hmm. If that edge is $500, it makes you feel more manly when you hit the ball, you know? I mean, price
if that, pay, if it leaves me with a wedge to the green instead of a 5-iron, I'm in.
I'm in.
You know, that makes me all moist inside. When you know, I get
we are with Ed Miller, director of golf at Forest Park. Again, get some tee times, classic5golf.com.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things Nestor just talked about, if you're starting to play, get back into the game. Mm-hmm. One of the things I always remember, gosh, this goes back to when I was a little lad, way back when in the dark ages, and my uncles were teaching me how to play. I always remember folks saying, you teach the game backwards. You start with the short game. You start with putting. And then you chip.
I start in Ocean City.
And then you go back.
Putt.
Is that?
There you go. That's the same thing.
Is that still the way you try to teach the game? Do you
teach
it backwards?
Yes, sir. And the reason
why is that?
Believe it or not, there's two reasons. Number one, the majority of your strokes usually come in closer to the green. It's hard to believe, but 45% of your score is normally putting, maybe 55% if you include chipping. So you start there, and in terms of the mechanics of it.
I'd argue with you, because if I came out, I'd say, if I put the ball in the woods, I'm never getting to the greens.
Well, and of course, little kids like my 9-year-old grandson.
They just want to whack it.
Oh, he watches DeChambeau, and he suddenly thinks he's Happy Gilmore. You know, he's swinging.
Yep.
He's swinging from as hard as he can swing because he sees DeChambeau.
Was that the Bobby Tolan way to bat?
Oh,
you remember
man.
That,
oh,
yeah. Right? You know, so
I'm telling you,
don't hit like Lee May. My dad would say.
Oh, yeah.
And then Lee May became a hitting coach.
Exactly. There you go.
Well, Ed, walk us through this Open, because this is. Man, this is a fact. We've got the John Rahm factor.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got all kinds of great players. I mean, we've got, you know, except we got Deesh. I can't imagine. It'll be interesting. You talk me about it. We got Koepka's won twice. You got Rory.
Yeah.
You know,
Koepka.
You got Koepka, who's won back to back. I mean, it's really good. So I was surprised to see. I didn't realize, Ed, that Ricky Fowler. didn't make it. He didn't qualify.
He did not qualify this year. He's also been on a 2-year stretch that hasn't been obviously that good for Ricky. But
man, I'll tell you, it shows you how hard the game is, right? But it's hard for me to imagine a guy like DeChambeau. Tell folks, I mean, our friend Nestor Feinstein, John Feinstein, just obviously can't abide Bryson DeChambeau. And it's hard for me to imagine Bryson keeping the ball out of the rough in a U.S. Open, although we may not care because he's so daggone strong and he'll swing 9,000 miles an hour. What is it about Bryson that's so controversial for folks, Ed, out there?
He's going totally opposite of everything I know that I was ever taught about golf. You know, the distance part is fascinating. To Bryson right now, hitting a fairway is not that important. It's all about getting closer to the green and having the right angle into the green. And like I said, that goes against everything that golf has kind of taught you in the past. You know, you try to keep it in play. You try to keep it in the short grass where you control it. But at his lengths, who needs to,
I remember back, and again, for golf, and Nestor's right, half the world's going, man, I don't even know what you're talking about. But at the Players' Championship, down there at TPC at Sawgrass, they had to make on 18. People are, if they're golfers, they're familiar. You know, 18's got that beautiful lake on the left. You hit it out towards the trees on the right. And Bryson had talked in the practice round about maybe hitting it over the lake the left so he'd have a shot. They had to make it out of bounds. Yep. They had to add out of bounds to the left so Bryson couldn't hit it over. I mean, it's a game you and I don't know anything about.
Yep. If it's like if you want to keep the whole field in it, you know, that's the neat thing about golf and the way you're taught. There's always going to be guys that are longer hitters. There are going to be guys that are more accurate hitters, shorter but straighter. So you try to have a course set up that can kind of bring everybody into the mix.
Well, does this mean that a Jordan Spieth and a Justin Thomas, I mean, Justin won the Players. Jordan appears to be back. He seems to have gotten a little bit over those Sunday yips. Who do you like? I mean, I make no bones about the fact that I love Jordan Spieth. I just think he's a wonderful young man. Who do you like this weekend?
This week, you know, honestly, I like Jordan Spieth a little bit, and I'm going to go a little under the radar and hope it could be a first-time major winner. But I like Tony Finau this week. I believe Tony Finau, if I remember correctly and read it correctly, he is 7-for-7 in cuts made at Torrey. I believe he's finished in the top 25 all 7 times. Tony has that length kind of like Bryson when he wants to. Just a matter of
there again, putt. Ed, you mentioned Tony, and he's an interesting guy. I stood probably 10 yards from Tony Finau at Augusta during a practice round. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you talk about there's not one way to hit a golf ball. I don't know that I've ever seen a shorter, more powerful. I mean, Finau takes it to about his hip. You know, he doesn't take it back at all. And then he's got like 120 mile an hour swing speed. He's not won a major, right? So he's one of the ones on that short list, best player that you hate to be known as that, right? The best player to have ever won a major.
That is correct. Poor Tony's actually only has one PGA Tour win, but he has a lot of top 10. So he is on the cusp. As I like to say, he's knocking on the door.
He'll be fun to watch. Hey, before you get out of here, pump us up a little bit about the Classic Five. I mean, I love those courses. Remind folks what they are. Walk us through them and some of your highlights of those courses.
Public courses you can get on, right?
Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
Great, 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 great golf courses. Tell us a little bit about them, Ed.
Thank you so much, Don and Nestor. Yes, but the Classic Five golf courses. We are 5 golf courses, obviously located in Baltimore. We have Pine Ridge, Mount Pleasant, Clifton Park, Forest Park, and Carroll Park. We have a wide range of fees from normal rates in the morning to twilight rates in the afternoon. We can hopefully fit everybody's time, everybody's budget. We have beautiful golf courses, scenic views out in the nature. We are all in very good shape right now. Leagues are pumping, so it's a great time to get out there. Good time to go out and play. One of my favorite things I didn't mention about the U.S. Open also is that it always ends on Father's Day on Sunday. The final round is always on Father's Day. So another great reason to get out and play some golf, spend some time with your dad if you can, and just have some fun with it.
And the weather, right? The weather?
Weather is beautiful. Weather is beautiful this week. So
yeah, how those things train in those storms, dude? It was crazy here last 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
I love, Nestor, I love that point. man, you almost made me misty, because one of my favorite, I hadn't thought about it, Ed, until you just said that, is that, you know, I'm an old guy. I'm 70 years old. And I bet, if I think about it now, I bet that for 55 or 60 years, I've been playing golf on Father's Day. My son is, let's see, he's in his mid-40s. So since he started to play at 9 or 10, I want to say then for 35 years, one of our rituals is we play golf on the morning of Father's Day and then come back and watch the U.S. Open. You really have it really is part of Americana, isn't it, Ed?
Absolutely. Yes, sir. My dad and I used to do the same thing. Unfortunately, my dad doesn't play as much anymore, but we still have a planned get together Sunday afternoon. Going to watch the back nine of the U.S. Open. Hopefully have a nice cookout and go from there. Absolutely.
You know, the thing for me on the outside of this is not like a golf person is when it comes into my world on a Sunday as to whom I root for or against. And and I'm a serial Googler, right? So like if I hear a song, I want to know who's in the band and where the band's from. If my wife says, oh, that's a great actor, I look up the actor. I figure out where they're from. You know, I looked up Savannah Guthrie the other day because she was hosting Jeopardy to figure out, oh, she's from Tucson. I didn't know, you know.
There you
so
go,
with golfers, I do this. And I find it fascinating that, look, you know, there have been – jerks in golf, and there's been racism in golf, and there's Tiger Woods, who I didn't who I met once, who was a jerk to me, and I always rooted against him, which was my sort of gig, you know, for all those years. He was he was the villain for me. He was Hollywood Hogan, not Hulk Hogan, right? But where we are in modern golf, you mentioned all of these names at all of these points. Don's kid and grandkids are engaged, you're engaged, your dad's engaged. I find it fascinating. DeChambeau has become this WWE character in the middle of all of this, because that is what makes you larger than life, right? Like, he's going to be the biggest star if he can win a little bit and be a jerk enough to be a jerk, right? Like, that's it served John Daly well, right?
Yes, well, you had that recent moment, Ed, right? I mean, kind of unusual, because golfers are pretty measured, but you had that recent moment where Koepka won that tournament and Bryson was walking behind him and Koepka caught him right out of the corner of his eye, and he go and basically says, what an idiot. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically says, what an idiot. So I'm thinking, man, Bryson doesn't have a lot of friends out there. No.
Well, you know, it's fascinating on that side. The kid that was winning the Masters a couple years ago, or one that was from Augusta, but sort of looked, who was that?
Oh, yeah, Patrick Reed.
Yeah, I can't remember his name, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, the storylines for these human beings and who we like, and Phil Mickelson walking off a golf course after all the drug ads, after all of the punchy and like all of that, a champion again, like that's why we watch. I mean, Don says, well, you don't like golf that much. Well, you know, I like good stories. I like, as much as I don't like movies, I do like a sports plot line where you don't know who's going to win. It kept my wife engaged in a golf tournament last week, right? Like,
I'm Googling
all these girls, and she's like, why don't people watch women's golf? And then this week it's, why don't the women's soccer team make as much as they? So, like, my wife gets these stories because she sits and watches Savannah Guthrie all day and watching women's programming on the NBC network. So I would just say for golf, you know, the good guy, bad guy thing, that's what gets people like me maybe interested in saying, that guy's a jerk, I want him to lose. I mean, it worked for Tiger Woods for 15 years for me.
You just touched on my wife's nerve when you talk about the different compensation. But I don't want to let Ed out of here, because I want to ask him a quick question. And it goes back to what Nestor was talking about, the U.S. Female Open. I watched the last nine holes of that as well and was pulling for Lexi Thompson. And she, you know, looked to me like on the 15th hole, she was going to pretty much coast in. And I don't think I don't mean this in a negative way. The pressure got to her. She made a number of bad swings between 16 and 18. I thought she handled it beautifully because she clearly she wasn't up to the moment. Ed, for those people in our audience who are not golfers, and I'm sure you've coached young men and women, Phil was up to the moment. I mean, he was chasing Father Time as well as winning a major.
Yeah.
I think Nance, I think that's how Nance ends up calling it, right? Mm-hmm. Phil yep. beats Father Time.
It was Time. Good yep.
one of the great calls. So what is it? How do golfers overcome that nerve, that choke thing that Lexi experienced and come out on the other side? Talk about that a little bit, the mental part of the game.
Well, that's the neat thing about golf. Very similar to life is, and I'm sure this is true in a lot of sports, but in golf, you're going to lose most of the time. You really do. And you just got to keep kind of plugging along. You deal with the bad breaks or the bad putts, and you just know that tomorrow is a new day. It's another day, and you can try it again. Hopefully she's actually watched some old tapes of Phil, because that's probably one of my favorite things about Phil is, Phil's a very gracious loser. He's always learned from his losses. Well, hopefully he always learns from his losses. And hopefully Lexi will do the same thing. Lexi's pretty young. Going back to Lexi, I was actually a little bit surprised, not because she has won a major before. This would have been her second one. So I really thought that she was going to do all right. But
you could see it, Ed. You could see it. Yeah, I mean, those of us who are golfers, I know that feeling trying to win a $5 Nassau. I know how I feel. And and I can I said in the room that day, I said, oh man, I said to my grandson, I said, she's not feeling it. And, when you step up and step away, we all know the signs, and she Absolutely. Was between clubs. It was nasty.
Hey, Ed, I'm working, Baltimore Positive. I kept hearing my wife saying, oh no, no.
That's exactly how it went.
Hey, Nestor asked you a question before we let you get out of here. I think it's a good question. He said, hey,
yes, sir.
I'm getting started. I want new clubs. If folks want to come over to you or one of the other Classic Five, they've got a young man or woman they want to get involved, or they just feel like it now. Can they come over and you'll help them
get If I want to share a life of frustration and,
yes, sir,
and losing, I'll come see you, right?
You'll help them get the right clubs and all that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, sir. We'll definitely guide you in the right direction. You know, we're not going to always push everybody into a brand new clubs. That's the neat thing about golf. There's many avenues to get clubs. It's more about getting you on the golf course, getting the experience, and hopefully you'll get sucked in, and then you'll start to purchase your own clubs. But every one of our courses has a PGA professional there. We would definitely invite you down. Come talk to one of us. We'll try to get you fit for a set of clubs, get you started, and you'll start enjoying this great game of golf as well.
And if you can't have a $5 Nassau with Don, you can at least go to Nassau with Don and have a $5 drink.
One of the great local golf pros, Ed Miller. Folks, classic5golf.com. Get out there. Make a tee time. That's make it. Some memories with Dad on Father's Day. Have a cold win, and Nestor would say a crab cake, and enjoy the U.S.
Well, absolutely. Crab cake tour is getting going in the month of August. Ed, always appreciate the visits with you, man. I appreciate the knowledge. Appreciate the passion as well, my brother.
Thank you, Nestor. Thank you, Don. You guys have a great day.
I just learned you can get golf clubs for a couple $100. I really did not know that. I figured maybe secondary market or whatever, but I didn't realize. That's good to know that if I ever want to get back in, because my wife, man, like, she's got some weird thing about golf more so than tennis, where I'd be like, I go hit the tennis ball. She's like, nah, golf. It's just something muscling up that would, the sound that when you hit it perfect,
It's it.
Nestor, that Ed's going to be in my head now. I'm going to have this thing. I'm going out and measure my shaft. If I need the 40, hey, Ed, am I going to hit it all over the place?
Ed, don't let him fool you, all right? I know he spent a life in government and education. He's got $529 for a club. If you can promise him that it's going to give him that feeling.
Oh, yeah. I'll promise you'll hit it longer. I don't know about longer.
I'm going to say, Nestor, I'm going to tell you right now, if Ed tells me I can go to that 48-inch shaft and pick up 20 yards, put me in, coach.
There you go.
And the other part of this, he'll feel like Mickelson when he does it.
Oh,
and
baby.
That's kind of the whole vibe of golf to me, is to go out there and for a minute just pretend you're Jordan Spieth,
There you go.
Exactly. Ed Miller joining us here, Classic 5. Get out and visit him. Mount Pleasant, man. I just every time I think of Mount Pleasant, I think, Skipjack's practice, Gene Ubriaco. Yeah. What time's practice? Practice at 10 or 11 this morning, Coach. Don Mohler is a part of our Baltimore Positive contingent. Everything we're doing is out at BaltimorePositive.com. We're doing the Crab Cake Tour in August. We have various officials coming up, including Baltimore County Executive Johnny O, Barry Glassman joining us up in Harford County, Stuart Pittman joining us down in Anne Arundel County. All of that coming in July. But first things first, make sure that you get your chair out in front of State Fair out on Frederick Road for the big parade coming up on 4th of July weekend. I am Nestor. He is Don. We together out on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, anywhere you are. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.